We're going to take a little bit of a different look now. We're going to talk about some weekend stakes as well as bring you limited coverage of the live action from Belmont and Keeneland. Unofficial still, but they put up 7-5-4-9 at Keeneland. Lady Lily held off, dashed to the top. At Keeneland tomorrow, Bobby, as we wait for these prices to go official, Keeneland tomorrow, we're going to cover all the winning you're in action on the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts at 6. They have one other stakes race tomorrow. It goes as race number 6, the Grade 2 Woodford, 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Today the turf is labeled good. We'll see what happens tomorrow. They have a field of 9 entered for this heat. 5-2 on the Rail Runner, Extravagant Kid. He's your morning line favorite for Brendan Walsh and Tyler Gaffalione. Leinster, who is 2-3 with a second at Keeneland. That second came in this event right here last year. He won the Shakertown earlier this year. We haven't seen him since he won that Shakertown in July. Tyler Gaffalione rode Leinster last time. In fact, he rode him his last 6 times. He's going to pilot Extravagant Kid today. Tomorrow, Luis Saez picks up the mount on Leinster.
And that's obviously a little bit worrisome if you like Leinster, like I do. Yes, you get a very good replacement rider in Luis Saez, but obviously Tyler Gaffalione had his choice here, and he chooses Extravagant Kid, who he's ridden most of the recent past, and coming off a narrow defeat last time out in the turf sprint at Churchill Downs. I'm hoping Tyler Gaffalione made the wrong decision. He doesn't usually make the wrong decision. He and his agent do a very good job. But I think Leinster is every bit as good as Extravagant Kid. They ran 2-1 respectively, Extravagant Kid beating Leinster in a high-level allowance race at Churchill back in May, and they were only separated by about a length that day. I thought that Extravagant Kid had a little bit of a better of a trip that afternoon, and you know what? It may simply be because of that. Tyler Gaffalione rode Leinster that day. Rosario rode number 1 Extravagant Kid. Maybe Tyler Gaffalione is just thinking that, well, I already know that that horse is capable of beating Leinster, so if I have the opportunity to stick with him, I'm going to do it. I think that Leinster didn't run his best that day. His race in the Shakertown was great. I think he's better at Keeneland than he is at Churchill, which is good for him that the race tomorrow is at Keeneland. The race of the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint is at Keeneland. I'm going to take Leinster to get his second win in a row. He's 3-1 on the morning line. I think he'll be at least 3-1 at post time.
Yeah, I thought it was those two predominantly. A couple other horses I wanted to look at, and I picked Leinster as well over Extravagant Kid. Fast Boat, kind of making up some ground late in the Shakertown when last seen. He runs well after these breaks, so I wonder if this little 3-month respite helps his cause. Well, if he runs the race he ran 2 starts back off a similar layoff, if he runs that kind of figure, forget about being tough. He's going to win. He's going to win this race tomorrow. And Real News was in the turf sprint at Churchill last time out. Blinkers went on for the first time. He showed a lot of improvement with the blinkers. He wasn't as forwardly placed as he normally is, and I think that can change with Rosario tomorrow. There's not a ton of speed in this race, which is kind of rare for a turf sprint. Just Might, the number 4, has some speed, but I wonder with Rosario climbing aboard. Rosario's ridden this horse a couple of times. I wonder if he puts a little more speed into this horse and keeps him closer. Real News is a little interesting at a price to me, 6-1 on the morning line. But like you, I like Leinster. I like him over Extravagant Kid. Race number 6 goes as the Woodford, 5.5 furlongs on the turf course. Out at Santa Anita, the City of Hope runs at a mile. And we talked about this earlier. Mo Forza looks to be a force in that mile division this year. Grade 2, 200,000 on the line. Mo Forza field of seven. He breaks from post seven. Flavien Prat takes another seat aboard for Peter Miller. Down at the inside, Sharp Samurai is going to return to the turf after arguably running the best race of his life in the Pacific Classic behind Maximum Security on dirt last time. He returns to his favorite turf course. He's 5 of 9. He's won 8 races in his career. He's 5 for 9 as Sharp Samurai at Santa Anita. He won this event 2 years ago. Gary Stevens, the Hall of Famer, rode him that day. He missed last year's renewal. So he's kind of defending his crown in here. And we'll see if he can battle Mo Forza in here. Mo Forza looked really good returning. Mo Forza returned without the blinkers as well, and he ran the fastest race of his life last time, Bobby.
Mo Forza was great last time. He was great in the Mathis Brothers Mile 2 starts back at the end of last year at Santa Anita. Not so great in between that when he tried going a mile and 3/16 in the Pegasus World Cup in a race where I think it was too long for him. He didn't get to race with Lasix that day. He ran into Zulu Alpha. It's kind of a non-race as far as I'm concerned. I am convinced that Mo Forza's last race and his third race back are as good or better than any horse going a mile on the turf that we see in the country running today, including the Raging Bulls, the Unis, the Hallidays, Newspaper of Records, all of them. I think Mo Forza with a clean trip, those races make him the favorite of the United States contenders to win the Breeders' Cup Mile. There are a couple things that are kind of going against him on Saturday. One is he's drawn outside in a race where there's some speed, not a ton of speed. Blitzkrieg has some speed. I don't know if he's a real major player in the race. Bob and Jackie, maybe. So Mo Forza may be forced to loop the field. Maybe he's good enough to do it anyway. But reportedly, after his last win in the Del Mar Mile, he had a minor case of colic and missed a work. You can see that he's only shows 2 works since that race on August 23rd, the first of them being 4 weeks later on September 19th. So there was a little bit of time away from getting to the racetrack. And that the only thing about that, you know, it doesn't concern me for going to the Breeders' Cup in 4 or 5 weeks, but will he fire the same big shot tomorrow that we saw last time? Will that little bit of sickness, little bit of missed time cost him? If you don't think it will, he's definitely the best horse in the race, and he's a fun horse to watch. God, he has gotten really, really good for Pete Miller.
Yeah, he's good, and he's going to be tough tomorrow. Like you said, do you have to be a little bit worried about the colic? I don't think you'd be smart to just ignore it. But at 90%, that might be enough to beat that field. So, not to take anything away from the field, but it might be enough to beat that field. I thought Blitzkrieg was probably a little bit more of a concern than you do, for the simple fact that I think Abel Cedillo is just going to put him on the lead. Bob and Jackie, I know, is getting blinkers, but he seems to have lost some of his speed. Even a horse like Restrained Vengeance, you know, the poly, turf, dirt, I don't think they know what they want to do with this horse at this point. I just think Abel Cedillo is going to put Blitzkrieg on the lead. I don't think it's enough to beat Mo Forza, but if you're concerned, I think he's the only horse. I think they're going to bet Sharp Samurai off of a dirt race. Because quite frankly, I mean, and is Eddie Reed second to United's fine. I don't know if at this point, no, he's a 6-year-old now. It's weird to say this, but he may want a little more ground at this point in his career. You know, the mile races may just develop too quickly for him. And maybe he needs a little more time to get the engine going in these races, settle and more of a grind, if you will. Which led me, if I play out there tomorrow, if I play a pick 4 or pick 5, I would certainly, I'd be leaning heavily on Mo Forza, but I would take one ticket with Blitzkrieg just in case he does just that and blitzes them on the front end. But I think we're in agreement. Mo Forza, a strong contender, not only tomorrow in the City of Hope Mile, but in that Breeders' Cup mile, provided all goes well on the road to the Breeders' Cup, which is 5 weeks from today. All right, we got some more stakes action for you a little bit later on in this hour of race day. Right now, we'll turn our attention to Belmont Park. Late scratch. Excuse me. Late scratch here. Earlier, the number 6, Azagar, came out. Now, the number 7, Tequila Memories, a late scratch. Win, place, show, try, super, is all refunded. Use the source in the late pick 4, late pick 5, or Empire 6. You'll get the post-time favorite. That is yet to be decided. Currently, it's the number 5, Malibu Luna, 2-1 for Bill Mott and Junior Alvarado. This is one of those restricted maiden races for the 2-year-olds purchased at an auction for $45,000 or less.
Yeah, I wasn't overly thrilled with the two that have previous experience. They both run all right. Lute Scoot and Boogie, Malibu Luna, took a shot here with number 8, Full of Fire, just because Horacio De Paz clicking on all cylinders and does very well with first-time starters as well. This one, Bullet Work at Belmont on the training track September 20th, the fastest of 113 going full 4 furlongs. Wasn't a real quick time, but fastest of 113 is the fastest of 113. Maybe we'll see some speed from number 8, Full of Fire.
Horse opened up favored for what it's worth, 8-5, now drifted up to 7-2, co-third choice with the 1, Bustin' My Groove, fellow first to this one from Danny Gargan. The Lau Bands have come out running. I went to the favorite, Malibu Luna, who was already beaten Lute Scoot and Boogie by a couple of lengths. Lute Scoot and Boogie came back to run well at Saratoga closing weekend against Open Maidens. She ran third. It was a much faster race, but I thought Malibu Luna would benefit from being just off the pace in here. Last one to load is Full of Fire. Field of 6 going to go 6. Johnny I has the call.
Riders off. My Delicious in the gate. Appears to be back on. And they're off. And Lute Scoot and Boogie is quickly out of there. Quickly in front by a length. Full of Fire on the outside runs in second. Bustin' My Groove down at the rail in third. And alongside is a Tap the Barrel in fourth. And a break of 2 to Malibu Lunar. And another length and a half to My Delicious, who trails the field in sixth. Lute Scoot and Boogie has the lead here by a length and a quarter as Bustin' My Groove advances from the inside into second after a quarter in 22-4. Full of Fire's on the outside in third. It's another length to Tap the Barrel in fourth, then 4 lengths to the 2 trailers, Malibu Luna and My Delicious. Lute Scoot and Boogie leads the field to the top of the stretch. It's Lute Scoot and Boogie by a little more than a length. Full of Fire's in between horses. Tap the Barrel on the outside. Bustin' My Groove down towards the rail. Half mile in 46 3/5 seconds. Lute Scoot and Boogie has the lead here. On the outside, it is Malibu Luna who is coming on now. Lute Scoot and Boogie. Malibu Luna on the outside. It's between these two. It is Malibu Luna who has the lead in deep stretch. Malibu Luna wins it. Lute Scoot and Boogie was second. Bustin' My Groove finished third.
5-2-1-4, Malibu Luna from well off the pace today under Junior Alvarado gets the job done for Belmont.
Yeah, took advantage of a decent early pace, looped the field, went on by very impressively. Nice effort from Malibu Luna.
We'll take a break, come back, get your prices at Keeneland and Belmont. We got some Pimlico Stakes coming at you for tomorrow as well as race number 7 from Keeneland Live today. You're listening to Race Day on HRRN.
The Pons Family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making such stallions as Malibu Moon. Our current stallion roster includes Mosler by Warfront and Divining Rod by Tappet. Maryland's Training Center allows us to provide full service from starting youngsters to getting them to the races. We can also help you experience all the excitement of ownership with our partnerships, from the folding barn to the racetrack. Get in the game with Country Life Farm. Visit us at countrylifefarm.com.
Thoroughbred Charities of America raises and distributes funding to approved nonprofits that help thoroughbreds and the people who care for them. TCA's annual grants support aftercare and incentive programs, health and human service initiatives for backstretch and farm workers, and equine-assisted therapy programs that utilize thoroughbreds. TCA is one, helping many. Please support TCA today at tca.org.
Hey everyone, it's Mike Pena. You know, every Saturday morning I have the privilege of visiting with the top owners, trainers, breeders, jockeys, and industry professionals in the sport of thoroughbred racing on our Equine Forum show. We call the Equine Forum the show that launched a network because it was our original show that started it all more than 15 years ago. So be sure to join me every Saturday morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern as I take you inside the world of thoroughbred racing. It's the Equine Forum, Saturdays, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201. And streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Don't miss Fall Stars Weekend live from Keeneland this weekend on HRRN. We'll bring you live coverage of the Darley Alcibiades and Phoenix Stakes on Friday and the Spinster and Bourbon Stakes on Sunday. It's Fall Stars Weekend on HRRN, presented by Breeders' Cup. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information or to listen live.
Hi, it's Ian Wilkes here, and you're listening to HRRN Radio.
This is Race Day on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Juliet Foxtrot, Simply Breathless, and Neck Apart with a quarter to run at Darlington. Vexatious Sweeps, Maruba right there spying a gap. Spun wide, Remember Daisy, Nepali Spirit, and Cascan Noeses. And Always Believe has always been outrun. They're deep in the final furlong. It's Juliet Foxtrot on the outside, charging as Vexatious. For the inside, Simply Breathless is third. Then Remember Daisy, they're close to home. Riff Marone Giroux. It's Juliet Foxtrot to win the Modesty by just over two. Vexatious was second, then third. Simply Breathless in front of Remember Daisy.
The Modesty went to Juliet Foxtrot. She'll try her hand tomorrow in the Gallerette, looking for her first win since that effort last July of 19 at Arlington. Welcome back to Race Day here on HRRN. We're not going to be able to get to this on the programs today, but don't forget, this weekend at Woodbine, there is still live stakes action on Saturday. The Toronto Cup is a turf stakes, three-year-olds going a mile, and the Duchess Stakes, three-year-old fillies. Sunday, the Vice Regent, three-year-old Ontario Bred's first post on Saturday and Sunday is 1:10 p.m. For more racing and horse player information, visit woodbine.com. Prices are in. Let's go to Keeneland first. Got to get you those Keeneland prices. Lady Lily held off Dash to the Top for Phoenix Thoroughbreds, Steve Asmussen and Tyler Gaffleone. She's a two-year-old daughter of Nyquist out of the Pulpit Mare, Miss Inclined.
Seven, Lady Lily, 740, 460, 320. Second, five, Dash to the Top, 1520, 720. Third, four, American Grace, $4. Fourth, nine, Spun d'Etat. Exacta, 98.80. The Try, 116.60. Dime Super, $67.57.
At Belmont Park, Malibu Luna got the job done for Lee Einsiedler's LRE Racing and Mike Frances's JEH Racing. Hall of Famer Bill Mott off the duck at the Fall Championship meet. Junior Alvarado was aboard this two-year-old daughter of Orb out of the Affleet Alex Mare, Super Flash.
Five, Malibu Luna, 570, 290, 220. Second, two, Lute Scootin' Boogie, 330, 250. Third, one, Bustin' My Groove, 310. Fourth, four, My Delicious. The Exacta, 1480. Try, 1090. Dime Super, $9.57.
All right, let's talk about a couple of stakes. It's actually three. We'll talk about two before this race at Keeneland, though. The Gallerette goes as race number two on the Pimlico card tomorrow afternoon. Mile and a six. Well, tomorrow morning, I should say, 11:35. First post to Pimlico, keep in mind, 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Gallerette's a grade three. A field of eight has been entered, and here one of them is an MTO, though, so seven will go on the turf. 7-5 on Juliet Foxtrot from the rail. She's faced the likes of Bull Recall, Newspaper of Record, Rushing Fall in her last two starts. Gets a big class drop in here into the grade three, chasing $150,000.
I don't like her, and there's a couple reasons I don't like her. The main one is I think she was just a better mare slash filly last year than she is this year. Her races in 2020 to me look a few steps below what she showed us in 2019. I know she's been facing tough company, but she hasn't been big odds, and she just hasn't had that punch. The other thing is, for the most part, almost all of her North American races, she loses ground from the top of the stretch to the wire. You know, she makes that kind of quick move to contend on the turn and then flattens out a little bit in the last eighth. And, you know, it could be a combination of the fact that, you know, she's getting tired or the fact that she's running against tough competition. I'm not interested in her at 7-5 morning line, 4-5 probably at off time. I think number 8, Varenka, is interesting. She's getting blinkers on for Graham Motion. She was actually favored in one of those Kentucky Downs races against Dalica last time out. Didn't run great, but I don't care about how well they run in those Kentucky Downs races. Her previous start, where she was only beaten about 2.5 lengths in the Grade 3 matchmaker at Monmouth, I think is good enough to make her very dangerous in this spot. There's some speed to her inside. She has the ability to close. I'm going to look for Varenka to get a slight upset, 5-1 on the morning line in the Gallarette.
To me, this is the ultimate, do you want the class or do you want to try and beat her? I couldn't find one to beat her. Good luck to you with Varenka. I got to tell you something. Varenka, to me, is starting to look like the dressed-up one. Two good races last summer at Saratoga, and her form has been awful ever since. The blinkers better wake her up because, you know, she's got some grief. I think Juliet Foxtrot, I picked her, but Storm the Hill makes her first start for trainer Mike Maker at the age of 6. And she's another one. Look at her last 3 races. First Lady against Uni and all these horses. Matriarch against Got Stormy and Juliet Foxtrot. La Cienegas against Jolie Olympica. She ships back east now for Mike Maker, the king of the reclamation projects. And this is a filly who has some back class. She's earned over $400,000 in her career. I think she's a little dangerous. And the 3 she's on the warpath gets a huge rider change to Gabe Saez. She's knocked on the door as well. So like you, I'm a little leery of Juliet Foxtrot, but I just think she's supposed to beat these horses. She's within a length and a quarter of Rushing Fall and Jolie Olympica. And I know what you mean, man. It's been a long time between drinks, but I think she's found the right bunch. I'll use her and Storm the Hill mostly. Maybe a little She's on the Warpath. Maybe a little Varenka. Race number 2 goes as the Gallarette. Race 5, the Miss Preakness. 6 furlongs on the main track. It's a Grade 3, $150,000 on the line. Field of 7. Monday Call comes in for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux off of a even money terrible performance in the 8 Bells when she got cooked on the front end. Sconson picked up the pieces. She's getting some class relief in here. Wicked Whisper is a former Grade 1 winner. She just missed in the Charlestown Oaks. You heard that here on the network. Ain't No Elmer's a little bit of an up-and-comer. She ran well last time out. But the one time she tried graded stakes competition, she did not run well at all behind 4 graces.
I think you liked her last time out and got there at 6-1, too. And I think she actually has a chance tomorrow. I picked Monday Call on top for the reason that she's getting off the rail. That last time, I know I picked Sconson in that race, hoping that there would be a pace meltdown, and that's exactly what happened. Monday Call, who tried to fire to the lead, was pressed down from the inside, which is not exactly the place you want to be. Now, to me, she's drawn outside the other speed. The 2 fillies who are actually drawn outside of her, Ankle Monitor and Princess Katie, have no speed compared to Monday Call. So Monday Call, she may be able to get the lead. If she can't outbreak number 3, Fly on Angel, she'll be stalking from the outside, which is much better than being pressed from the inside. Her races, when she runs well, are better than this field. I think she'll run better tomorrow than what we saw at Churchill Downs. I put Monday Call on top. I think your Ain't No Elmers is a logical one in here. She's the one who would benefit most, I think, if they get a little bit screwy on the front end.
Yeah, I thought Sound Machine. I picked Monday Call, too, just because she might be, you know, just faster and better going the 7, going the 6, rather. Sound Machine was a little interesting to me, too. She ran against Frank's Roquette first in the Any Limit at Gulfstream in February. Then she came and found her in the Prioress in the summer at Saratoga. Now she gets some class relief as well. She's one that doesn't have to be too far from it. I know she's been further off the pace in her last 2. I don't think she needs to be that far off the pace. Let's see if she can work out a trip. I put her second behind Monday Call. Wicked Whisper makes sense. I think Ain't No Elmers makes sense. 7-5 on the morning line for Monday Call is probably too short of a price to actually take. She may even be shorter than that. I like her, but I'm going to spread in some. The early pick 5 begins, obviously, in the first, and that ends it with the Miss Preakness. So I'll take a look at her. I'll take a look at Sound Machine, a couple others in there. Monday Call, the top pick, but I'm going to try and see if we can get one of the prices home, namely Sound Machine, 5-4 for me in race number 5, the Grade 3 Miss Preakness. All right, we got some live action coming up for you. 3 minutes to post for race number 7 at Keeneland.
By the way, I like this. I like this jumping all over the place thing. It's kind of keeps
fun,
us
right?
on our toes.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah. Mile and an eighth on the turf at Keeneland. A of an N, straight. I love straight A of an N's. I'm not a big fan of optional claimers. I know racing secretaries hate when I say that, but I'm here for you, the people. I didn't want to do Mike Bain just now. Field of 8, going to go to 9 furlongs. Earlier today, Queen Debbie finally got her second win in the other division of this race. So this is a split division. Queen Debbie got the job done earlier today for Joel Rosario and Grand Motion. And now we'll see if Rosario can go back-to-back in the divisions. He rides the 8 Luck Money for Arnold Delacroix. She's the second choice. I hear you, Tyler Gaffleone, Mike Stidham. You're going to see this Gaffleone guy favored a lot. She's your 2-1 favorite.
Yeah, I didn't think anyone really stood out in this field. And because of that, I lean toward number 2, Quiet Dignity, who's 7-1 on the morning line. She's been running against competition going much longer distances, a mile and a half, mile and three-eighths at Saratoga, her last two starts. She was overmatched in the Waya at a mile and a half at Saratoga, and then ran much better against this A other than competition, albeit at a distance that maybe was a little bit too far, a mile and three-eighths. Shortens back up to, I guess what you'd say, a more conventional mile and an eighth distance, mm-hmm. and I think this will be a better spot for Quiet Dignity. To me, her races in and around this level are every bit as good as what we've seen from number 5, I Hear You, who's improving and certainly has every right to continue to improve. But at the price, I'm going to stick with number 2, Quiet Dignity. I think this distance will be much better for her.
Okay. I tried her so many times when she was with Chad Brown. I just have such a bad taste in my mouth. I really do. I tried her so many times. And the cutback should help her. You're not wrong. The cutback to this distance should help her cause. But I couldn't separate the two favorites. And, I thought it was the 5 and the 8. I used them both in the pick 4. So I'll try and get one of them home. Like I said, it was tough for me to separate the two. I couldn't when all was said and done, so I used both of them. Believe me, I would have liked a single because the ticket's a little expensive. I needed a little coverage. They're off at Keeneland. Here's Kurt.
There goes Quiet Dignity from the inside. I Hear You from In Between Horses is up close in the opening strides as well. And here comes Lemon Popper striding forward. Lemon Popper now has a narrow lead. Quiet Dignity right there to the inside. These two separated by less than a length, moving by the stands, although Lemon Popper now starts to move on by and takes over the lead by just over a length. I Hear You moves up second a half length to the outside of Quiet Dignity third, who will save some ground to the inside around the first turn. Ella Brilla is 3 wide and fourth, moving up now to challenge for that second spot. Then further back, Choate Bridge is down to the inside in fifth position and is followed by Luck Money. Now Luck Money is sixth, moving up fifth on the outside, stays outward from the rail, nearly 4 lengths from the front. Further back, First Course, side by side with Sursum Corda at the back. It's 24.28 seconds for the opening quarter. Up front, Ella Brilla keeps moving forward. Ella Brilla now has the lead by just ahead, although Lemon Popper still there second to the inside, a length and a half. I Hear You is in third by 3/4 of a length, followed by Quiet Dignity fourth, a half length. Luck Money fifth up on the outside. Choate Bridge, First Course, and Sursum Corda, 49.59 for the first half mile. Over to the far turn. Lemon Popper fights back, leads it again by a half length. Ella Brilla second by two lengths around the turn. I Hear You is in third. Here's Luck Money swinging to the outside from fourth, but still nearly five lengths off the lead. Quiet Dignity is fifth down toward the inside. They turn for home. Lemon Popper chased by Ella Brilla, who's right alongside. Luck Money needs to find more and find it quickly than I Hear You. And a late run from Choate Bridge down the center of the course, but still in fifth position. Choate Bridge trying to come after Ella Brilla. Quiet Dignity to the inside, and Luck Money is there fighting on as well. Luck Money, narrow lead. Late charge from Sursum Corda, far back to fifth, but it is Luck Money, Joel Rosario, to win it, followed by Quiet Dignity across the line in seconds.
Money poured in on Luck Money. She went off 8-5 favorite when all was said and done, and Joel Rosario takes both divisions of this say other than on the turf for the Phillies.
And a difference in trips here. Luck Money, although having to go a little bit wide, was in the clear. Joel Rosario never had to stop riding, whereas Brian Hernandez Jr. tried for the Irad Ortiz move, saved ground all the way. Unfortunately, the hole didn't open quick enough for Quiet Dignity. That one had to step on the brakes for a few strides, and when she got out, it was too late to get to the favorite, Luck Money, who got a good trip.
Yes, 8-2, 8-5 over 8-1 at Keeneland. We'll get those prices in just a few minutes. Let's wrap the stakes action for this segment. We have a few minutes here to talk about race number 6 at Pimlico tomorrow, the Grade 2 dinner party. This was formerly the Dixie. Mile and a 16th on the turf. A field of 7 in here, and another horse that figures to be a big favorite for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux. Fact of this, there's an outside chance, Bobby. This horse is the shortest price on the card. He comes in. I remember when this horse was a claimer for Eddie Barker here on this circuit. I don't think anybody ever thought this horse was going to win $1 million all on the turf, but he has. He's even money. He gets Giroux back aboard. Giroux hasn't been aboard this horse in 9 months, 10 months. Sean Bridgman's been riding this horse. Just got beat to Digital Age. He finished between Digital Age and Rock Emperor last time out in the Turf Classic at Churchill, and he figures to be a very, very short price tomorrow.
And he's certainly one of the ones in here. He's very fast early on and keeps going all the way to the wire. I don't think he has to win, though. There is some other speed in the race. Some Like It Hot Brown is not slow early. Irish Straight is not slow early. They're quick enough that Factor This, you know, won't be able to just kind of lope around there and do nothing and take them all the way. So believe it or not, I am going to pick a real screwball in this race. And I'm going to go with number 4, O Dionysus, for Cyril Murphy and Luis Garcia. O Dionysus has some hidden form. Actually ran very well in this race last year. You mentioned it used to be called the Dixie. Was only beaten a length by Catholic Boy last year. I would say if Catholic Boy were in this race this year, you know, his form, he would be the one to beat. If you're only beaten by a length or so by Catholic Boy, obviously you don't mind this turf course and you have some form somewhere that fits. Last time out was his first start off a layoff. He showed signs of life after a couple of poor starts, one on the dirt, one in the Grade 1 United Nations going a mile in 3/8, which not only was against much better competition, but was much too far as a distance goes. I realize most of this horse's good races were when he was trained by Gary Capuano, but like I said, I think his last race showed signs of life that he could be rounding back into good form. And at 30-1, kind of similar to the way you're looking at Live Your Beast Life in the Preakness. If I'm right, you know, it's worth it. It's not like I'm betting my bankroll on O Dionysus. I just think there could be some pace in here. We're going to try him.
I got you. Yeah, I don't blame you. The other horse, I don't think he's going to get beat. I love you for the outside-the-box thinking. I thought Dr. Mounty, who's still banging around at the age of 7, full horse at the age of 7. I thought he might be okay. They put him on the lead last time in a paceless race. Now, he's not seeing the lead, but the fact that at 7 years old they were able to show an old dog some new tricks last time leads me to believe he's still interested in doing this. And maybe with all the speed in here, if he was able to win against his usual grain last time, maybe now that he gets his trip, he's the one that could fire. I'm going to make a 7-6 exacta with a small turnaround, and you got me thinking with this O'Dionysus. I might throw him in somewhere as well, but I thought fact of this was going to be too tough. I love your thinking, though. See if you can get him beat. I think he'll get the Duke. You think he can get beat. We'll find out tomorrow. The sixth race goes as the Grade 2 dinner party. Before we go to break, let's get you to prices at Keeneland. Luck money from Off the Pace. Four. Let me get to this. Catherine Wills on Eau de la Croix. Joel Rosario was aboard this three-year-old daughter. Looking at Lucky out of the Rahi Mare Flagrant.
Second win on the card for Joel. Number 8, Luck Money, $540, $383. Second, 2, Quiet Dignity, $8, $520. Third, 3, Sursum Corda, $420. Fourth, 1, Choke Bridge. The exact of $56.80. The try, $64. Dime Super, $84.19.
All right, we'll come back with race number 8 at Belmont Park and wrap up the other stakes action with the DeFrancis and the Black Eyed Susan from Pimlico tomorrow afternoon. You're listening to Race Day here on HRN.
70 organizations, 160 facilities, 7,800 horses, one accreditation. The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance is the only accrediting body in Thoroughbred Aftercare and is supported by all aspects of the Thoroughbred industry. To learn more or to support the TAA, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Have you tried DRF Formulator PPs at DRF.com? Take your handicapping to the next level with premium features not found in DRF Classic PPs, including one-click access to complete race charts, full-screen video replays with both standard and head-on views, add your notes for a card, horse, or trip, and access from any device, view Timeform U.S. pace figures, get customized printing options, and so much more. Try DRF Formulator PPs today at DRF.com/PPs.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton, only on HRRN.
2-year-old champion Looking at Lucky arrived in Baltimore to contest the 2010 Preakness Stakes, hoping for better luck and a better trip than the one he had in Louisville 2 weeks earlier. Sent off as the 6-1 favorite in the Run for the Roses, his Derby dreams would be dashed following a troubled trip from an inside post. But his luck seemed to be taking a turn for the best at Old Hilltop, having drawn post position number 7 for racing's Middle Jewel. Second choice in the wagering behind Derby hero Super Saver, Looking at Lucky and young jockey Martin Garcia waited patiently for their opportunity. And as 23-1 long shot First Dude led them into the stretch, the stage was set for a thrilling Preakness.
They're at the top of the stretch. Looking at Lucky, First Dude, Tara Cortado is next on the far outside there. Is Iwana Twist looking to pull a big upset? And also Jackson Bennett. And closing the rut. Let's see it between horses. Jackson Bennett looking at Lucky. First Dude. And you want to twist from the outside. You're looking at Lucky. You're looking at Lucky in the Preakness to win it by a half leg.
Looking at Lucky finally got the clear trip he needed and provided Hall of Fame trainer Bob Baffert with his 5th Preakness win and racing fans with another memorable moment in Preakness Stakes history.
Hi, this is jockey Emma Jane Wilson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to Race Day on HRRN.
The mile went in 1:36.4, and they're in the stretch, and it is Swiss Skydiver, and she's opened up on the field here. Swiss Skydiver in front by a half dozen lengths. Then Harvey's Little Girl, Bonnie South, and On Vuitton. And Swiss Skydiver is sailing home here in the 140th running of the Alabama. Bonnie South came on for second. Harvey's Little Goyle was third. The mile and a quarter in 2 minutes, 3 seconds.
Swiss Skydiver will be one of the choices tomorrow in the 145th Preakness. She tries the boys again. Bonnie South, who she defeated in that Alabama, going to take on the her fellow fillies in the Black Eyed Susan. Welcome back to Race Day here on HRR. And we got some stakes action coming your way. And we'll finish our coverage of the graded stakes races at Pimlico tomorrow after race number 8 here at Belmont. Also want to take a few minutes right now with a little bit of a breather to tell you about the broadcast schedule here on the network. Coming up at 5 o'clock today, winning your in coverage of the Phoenix and the Darley Alcibiades from Keeneland, presented by Breeders' Cup. That goes from 5 to 6. 6 to 7, weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts. Bobby Newman and I go over 16 races. It's all of the winning your in races this weekend, as well as the rest of the stakes from Belmont Park. That comes your way tonight from 6 to 7. Tomorrow morning, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, the Equine Forum comes your way. Pete Rotunda from Breeders' Cup is going to handicap the Saturday winning your in races. Safi Joseph Jr., has New York traffic in the Preakness tomorrow. Safi will be on board, a host of others, the Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. The show that launched the network from 8 to 10 tomorrow morning Eastern Time, from 4 to 6 tomorrow in partnership with NBC Sports Audio, the 145th Preakness Stakes, as well as winning your in action from Fall Stars Weekend at Keeneland. Bobby Newman joins the Baron Mike Penna, who will host the programming. And then Sunday, more Breeders' Cup winning your in action presented by Breeders' Cup. Bobby and I will have the bourbon as well as the Judd Von Spinster. We'll talk about the Indian Summer, recap some of the other action from the weekend. It can all be heard on Sirius 219, XM 201. You can also check the site, horseracingradio.net. It's your home for all of racing's biggest events, and you can stream the action live there as well. This hour of Race Day will join the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts on the website tonight, so you'll have your chance to re-listen to 23 weekend stakes covered by Bobby Newman and myself to get you ready for what could arguably be the biggest day of racing we've ever seen. Tomorrow could very well be, but between all the prep races for the Breeders' Cup and the Women You're In Action and the Preakness, could be the biggest day of racing we've ever seen.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Hopefully we pick some winners, and hopefully we bet on the ones we pick that are actually winners along the way, because it's a lot of fun. Head on a swivel, as you mentioned, and between New York, Kentucky, Maryland, Southern California, just great races all over.
Yeah. All right, back here at Belmont Park. We got about a minute to post for the 8th. Allowance optional claimer, mile and a 16th on the Widener course. You can scratch the 1A, we'll sing for wine. I'm just going to read you the numbers. Scratch the 1A, 7, 8, 9, 11, 13. Chad Brown, Jose Ortiz, Basquiat, even money, the number 5. Second choice is the number 6, Irish Me, is all the way up at 5 to 1.
Well, I think Basquiat can win. I think even money's way too short on him. He did run very well his lone try on the turf last time out. He's logical. I picked number 3, Plot the Dots, on top. His only try on the turf was in the Jersey Derby, where he finished 4th. He was only beaten 4.5 lengths. In fact, he was right there with Irish Mia's, battling for 3rd and 4th. Runner-up in that race, Bye Bye Melvin, already came back and won in his next start. I think Plot the Dots, that race in the Jersey Derby, a repeat of that effort, would put him right there in the hunt, and he's a much better price, 6-1. So I'm going to use him on top.
Okay. I wanted to play a 5-2 here. I thought Basquiat was going to be aggressively ridden by Jose Ortiz, either on the lead or close to it. Ever dangerous, broke his maiden first time out at Gulfstream Park. He was then entered in races won by Gufo, graded stakes winner. Domestic Spending, graded stakes winner. Decorated Invader, graded stakes winner. He gets some class relief. I got to deal with this Eric Cancel, but this horse comes from well off the pace, so I'm not worried about that. I thought this was a 5-2 to the hoop.
Well, maybe Eric Cancel will send him to the lead today.
My head might explode live on radio. You will be handling the win in your action. If this horse is on the lead today, you will handle the win in your action alone. my head will explode on worldwide radio. That would be something, wouldn't it? That would be something.
I don't think that's going to happen. You probably don't have to worry about that. I just say
put
probably.
Put these thoughts in my head. Put these thoughts in my head, my friend. Don't even put that stuff in the universe. Turn of events goes in. Johnny I has the call on the 8th.
There in the gate. And the rough turn of events from the extreme outside. Now Basquiat comes on through, and gaining ground towards the inside is Ever Dangerous. Turn of events, Ever Dangerous. Ever Dangerous grabs the lead. Turn of events is running in second. Basquiat is now in third. Life on Top advances at the hedge from fourth. And it's Irish Mia's and the Last Opportunity. The trailers are Plot the Dots and Dante's Fire. Ever Dangerous has the lead here after a quarter in 24 and 4/5 seconds. Turn of events on the outside is second by a little more than two. Then it's the trio of Basquiat, Irish Mia's, and A Life on Top. Then we come back to Last Opportunity in sixth, followed by Plot the Dots and Dante's Fire at the back. At the front, it's Ever Dangerous, the leader by a half length. Turn of events on the outside is in second. Then A Life on Top at the hedge, racing in third. Irish Mia's in between horses. The favorite, Basquiat, now moving up on the outside from fifth. Last Opportunity is towards the back of the pack, along with Plot the Dots and Dante's Fire, half mile 49-4. Ever Dangerous turn of events. The long shots are still 1-2 as Basquiat advances up into third. Life on Top on the inside. Irish Mia is in between horses. Last Opportunity has drawn within four lengths of the lead as the field heads into the stretch. It is Ever Dangerous on the outside. Here comes Basquiat now as they move down for the eighth pole. Ever Dangerous holding on to the lead. Basquiat is all out in second. It's Ever Dangerous by a length and a half. Basquiat in second. And Ever Dangerous is going to pull off the upset here. Ever Dangerous by a length and a half. Basquiat was second farther back. Irish Mia's turn of events and Life on Top.
I have seen enough to know I'll never see it all. Ever Dangerous, flag fall to That's All. Too bad I didn't do this with Scano. Pick five would be paying $1 zillion, and I'd be alive. 2-5 under the line. No, I did not turn it around.
Maybe he had second thought. Maybe the Scano effort woke him up to realizing that, hey, you can go out to the lead if there's no other speed in these races, and Ever Dangerous just hustled away from the inside post. Still didn't have to go that fast. Almost 25 seconds to the quarter, almost 50 to the half, and had plenty left to hold off Basquiat, who I think ran the race we thought he was going to run. He had to run down a horse we never thought was going to be in front.
Nope. 2-5-6-12 under the line. All right, we have about 7 minutes to cover these other two stakes races at Pimlico. The DeFrancis Memorial Dash used to have its own day in November. Obviously, with this year, things are different. A supersized card at Pimlico tomorrow. All stakes. 12 races, all stakes, including an Arabian after the Preakness to wrap the day up. The DeFrancis goes as race 7. It kicks off the late pick 5. The late pick 5, the all stakes pick 5, kicks off in race number 7 tomorrow with this DeFrancis. 6 furlongs on the main track. Got a field of 8 entered. Stan the Man cross-entered in the Kelso at Belmont tomorrow, so we'll see who lands where. Boy, this was a head-scratcher.
Yeah, it's wide open. I think we'd probably both agree that the race Landeskog ran when finishing second in the Grade 2 Gallant Bob last year would beat this field. He was off for almost a year after that, came back in an allowance race, changed barns, went from Doug O'Neill to Brad Cox, so from one high percentage barn to another higher percentage barn, and came back off the 11-month layoff at odds of 1-5, was supposed to beat a field very easily at Ellis Park, and he beat him fairly easily. He was never in any doubt. He won by 2 lengths, but probably could have won by more. It was very impressive, 108-4. He's a horse who has speed or can stalk the pace. If he improves second start off the layoff, he's the one to beat. I don't trust that he definitely would do that. To me, it's a spread race. I would use probably 5 or 6 of them in here, but Landeskog is definitely the best one if he fires his best shot.
I'm using the 1, 4, 5, and 8. Admiral Lynch is my top pick, and he beat Honest Mischief last time out, and he beat him handily up at Saratoga. There's another one of these horses. He was in both Navarro and Services Barn, and he's gotten better since he's left. Real, real big effort for Admiral Lynch. Last time out from just off the pace, there's some pace in here. I put him on top. I thought Landeskog could win. I thought Lockie, the local horse. Now, he hasn't really run well at Pimlico in his life, but he's run well at Laurel. He's earned over $500,000 bouncing around the Mid-Atlantic. I thought he could be okay. And I thought Nitrous, if they hit up, maybe Steve Asmus and Paco Lopez, maybe this horse could pick up the pieces. 1, 5, 4, and 8 for me. And the Francis, that wraps race 7. Again, it kicks off the late pick 5. Race number 10 is the Grade 2 Black Eyed Susan. $250,000 on the line. 1 1/8 for the 3-year-old fillies. A field of 11 has been entered in here. Brad Cox and Florent Giroux, if they run to their morning lines, they're going to make an awful lot of money tomorrow at Pimlico. Bonnie South, a good second to Swiss Skydiver in the Alabama when she had too much to do late in the game, is your 7-5 morning line favorite.
We talked about a couple of other 7-5 liners earlier in Juliet Foxtrot and Monday Call. This one, I think, is the lowest price one to win, and Bonnie South, just simply put, has been facing the best 3-year-old fillies in the country and not running poorly against them. This field is not nearly like the competition that she saw in the Alabama or the Ashland or the Fairgrounds Oaks. If she gets a decent trip, she's just better than this field. 7-5, I think, is high, way higher than she should be. She's going to win. And I think number 3, So Darn Hot, is probably the only chance to beat her. Her race 2 starts back on a fast track at Belmont when breaking her maiden was very good. I don't know if she can beat Bonnie South, but I think she has the best chance of beating her.
I agree. I think Truth Hurts has a chance at a huge price in here as well. I'm making two exactas, 5-2, 5-3. Bonnie South's the single. I'm not going to try and beat Bonnie South tomorrow. She's the single of singles, I think, tomorrow down at Pimlico, especially if you're looking to spread in the Preakness, like it certainly seems I am. I think you may have a little bit of a stronger opinion. I'm going to spread. I'm singling Bonnie South, making two exactas, 5-2, 5-3. I'm going to try and get Truth Hurts second at a huge number. That goes as race 10, the Grade 2 Black Eyed Susan. All right, prices at Belmont. There was your little bonus stakes action of weekend stakes preview. Belmont Park wrapped up race number 8 and wraps our coverage for the day at Belmont. Ever Dangerous, I can't believe I'm saying this. Flag Falter, that's all for Reeves Thoroughbred Racing and Randy Hill. George Weaver, Eric Cancel was aboard the 3-year-old Son of Kitten's Joy out of the Rahi Angel.
2 Ever Dangerous, $25.47.64. 5 Basquiat, $290.230. 3rd, 6 Irish Mias, $270. 4th, 12 Turn of Events, exacta $71.50. The Tri, $60.12. Dime Super, $124.85.
That was fun, wasn't it? Going back and forth.
It's great. Love it.
And you will have, if you are just tuning in, if you need everything in order, you will have this hour of race day from today up on the website, horseracingradio.net. Weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts coming your way at 6. So 23 stakes in all will be available tonight a little after 7 o'clock up at horseracingradio.net. All right, race day's wrapped for today. Race day's back on Wednesday with live action from Keeneland and Indiana Grand. Will recap the Triple Crown as well. Coming up next, though, exclusive coverage of the Phoenix and the Grade 1 Darley Alcibiades from Keeneland, winning your ins for the Breeders' Cup Sprint, Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. It's all presented by Breeders' Cup. For Bobby and Lee, race day's a wrap. I'm the Big A. Winning your in action live from Keeneland comes your way next here on your home for all of racing's biggest events, the Horse Racing Radio Network.
World Class Racing is back at Santa Anita.